DW.
Mounted on his TVS model motorcycle, James Mwangi has been on the road for the last 6 hours now. It is terribly hot and dusty in Nairobi. He is dressed in a layered jacket and sweater with a scarf around his neck. Two helmets are mounted on his motorcycle, one for him and one for his passenger. Dusty particles have settled on his eyebrows, but this doesn't seem to disturb the 28-year-old, whose eyes are fixed on a crowd walking towards him and a host of other riders. He lifts one hand, signaling that he's ready to go. But this time, he's not lucky. No one seems to want a motorcycle ride.
It has been 4 years riding a motorcycle. I could not get a job, so I got someone employ me as a rider. A year down the line, I bought my own motorcycle at 60,000 Kenyan shillings. I ride about 130 kilometers daily, taking home at least 2,500 depending on a day. It is a difficult job, but has sustained my family.
Mwangi is a husband and a father. He lives in Kangemi, an informal settlement on the outskirts of Nairobi. He's not only a driver, but also an employer.
After 5 months in the UNL,
I bought a new motorcycle about 5 months ago. I have employed a rider who pays me a minimum of 800 shillings a day. He maintains and fuels the motorcycle. I am still saving to acquire a new one and expand my sources of income. My child is about to go to school, and another one is on the way.
As these motorcycles offer drivers like Mwangi a source of income, David Rubia, an air quality and mobility program officer at the UN Environment, says Kenya has been registering over 150,000 new motorcycles a year, mainly from India and China. Despite creating jobs, they have become a huge source of pollution.
One of the things that we have seen is that your average motorcycle has a carburetor as opposed to your car, your average car, which has electronic fuel injection. And this affects how the vehicle consumes fuel. The cars are getting more fuel efficient, and they also have more advanced emission control technologies, while the motorcycles are not. So we are seeing for air pollution emissions that motorcycles have much higher emissions than cars. You'll find that one motorcycle can emit as much as 300 times the hydrocarbons that a car will, and up to 50 times the particulate matter. And even for nitrogen oxides, NOx, you'll have double emissions from the motorcycle than your typical Euro 4 rated car. And these have a huge impact on respiratory health.
The International Council on Clean Transportation says that the transport sector accounts for at least 22% of all global-related carbon dioxide emissions. In Africa, 40% of these emissions are accredited to the transport industry. Rubia says greening this sector will help reduce these emissions and keep drivers employed. However, East African countries do not have numbers on the extent of pollution caused by the motorcycles that can help inform policies.
We at UN Environment are working with stakeholders to develop the right policies that will incentivize the transition to electric mobility. Here in East Africa, we're working with the governments of Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, and Ethiopia to collect baseline data, to conduct feasibility studies, cost-benefit analysis, and what have you. But we're also designing pilots for electric two- and three-wheelers to test them within captured fleets. These pilots will give us the important comparative data that policymakers can then use to develop the right policy interventions.
But does East Africa even have the right infrastructure, even for a pilot study? Rubia again.
One of the beautiful things about electric two- and three-wheelers is they do not need initial infrastructure investment. Your normal electric motorcycle has a battery, and that needs to be charged. But you can charge that battery at home using the normal electrical outlets that already exist. Therefore, it's a fantastic stepping stone for evaluating electric mobility. You don't need infrastructure now, but you'll be able to evaluate electric mobility and be able to see the gaps for the wider transition to electric mobility for cars, buses, and what have you.
A fleet of 20 electric motorcycles are ready to roll out this January in Kigali, Rwanda, according to Faith Shege, an East African associate with Factor E Ventures.
We will charge the same price for the bike as the incumbent bikes. So the same price Bajaj and TVS are charging, which is about 1,600 to 1,700 on credit. is how much we'll be charging for the bike. And the reasoning for that is that we want to make sure that as many motorcycle drivers can switch from petrol to electric bikes without the barrier of the initial cost.
With an average bike rider traveling about 188 kilometers per day and visiting the fuel station a couple of times, battery-powered bikes will have charge for 65 kilometers and need to be swapped for 2 to 3 times a day. This makes it practical for drivers as they would need to swap the battery fewer times than they would need to go to the fuel station. Faith Shege explains how the battery swaps will work.
Instead of selling the battery to them because it's really capital intensive, we will be charging them a fee on a daily basis, which is a combination of the fee for the battery, leasing the battery, and a fee for us charging the battery for you. So instead of us giving them the batteries where some might not even have electricity, we will instead have charging stations across the city, or for starters, have one charging station and depots like what you have with gas cylinder companies now, right? Where you can just go and swap your battery.
Shege says the intention is to reduce emissions from 206 grams carbon dioxide equivalent per kilometer to about 55 grams. The new bikes still emit pollutants through the manufacturing process, but it's a quarter of the amount of the old ones. But this comes at a high production cost and taxes on the motorcycles, prototyped in Rwanda, with materials sourced in China and assembled in Nairobi. Apart from high cost, David Rubia thinks a lack of information is a setback.
The biggest thing holding back the transition to electric mobility today is information. A lot of people do not know that this is something that actually exists and works today. We're also very concerned about making sure that we pilot the right technology for the right purpose in each country, hence the need for the pilots.
Back on the streets of Nairobi, I mentioned the electronic motorcycle to James Mwangi and his eyes light up. He roughs up his uncombed hair and smiles in amusement.
Adi? What? What if it fails along the road? What am I supposed to do with the motorbike? How does it even work? Is it supposed to have like a battery?
For now, those involved in the study are excited to see what behavior change the fleet introduction will bring in Kigali, lessons that will be vital in Nairobi and other East African cities if riders like Mwangi are to embrace the idea.
DW.